My Life on a Diet is the new show that's running through December 15th at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. And the star and co-writer of the show is the Academy Award-nominated and Emmy Award-winning actress-comedian Renee Taylor. Renee, what an honor to have you on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you so much.
You've been doing this show for a while now. You had a tremendous run off-Broadway. Michael Bourne just was amazed with how funny and just how many great stories that you could tell. And when you and your late husband, Joe Bologna, wrote this show, what was going through your mind? Because it's a memoir.
I know. I didn't think people would be interested in My Life on a Diet, because my whole life since I was 11 years old, I was on every crazy diet, you know, that it was ever designed. But my husband said, no, everybody's on a diet and everybody's on some crazy diet and they think theirs is the only diet that works or the only diet that don't do it because it's dangerous. And I have been on all dangerous diets, wacky diets, just every kind of a diet for 60 years since I've been in show business, so that to keep me thin or glamorous or looking like a movie star, I thought if I ate like somebody, then I'd look like them. I thought if I ate like Grace Kelly or Marilyn Monroe, I'd look like that. And it almost worked.
But you knew Marilyn Monroe well, didn't you?
Yes, I was in class with her in Lee Strasberg's, and that was very inspiring to me because she was so frightened. But I was a young, cocky kid, and when I saw her fear, I thought maybe I should get scared, because when you're a young actress, you think you know everything there is to know. But when you see somebody shaking like she shook, then that's very inspiring that she would be that vulnerable to come to class and let young actors criticize her work besides Lee Strasberg, who was the teacher.
You've had an opportunity to tell a lot of people who we would definitely consider either icons or famous. You've given advice to a lot of people through the years because of your great connections and all the shows. You know, you're an Academy Award nominated and Emmy Award winning actress, as well as you've written plays. You've been in so many different shows, television shows. Everybody remembers you from The Nanny, of course. This is fine. And when I told people here at the radio station that you were coming in, Renee, they just like beamed because they love you.
Oh, how nice. How nice.
Has anyone noticed how I haven't touched the cake?
Yeah, Ma, you're doing really good. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Val, did you taste these double chocolate brownies stuffed with cheesecake centers?
Please, I'm still working on this cannoli. Mm-hmm. It's got chips.
Let me taste.
Let me have a knife.
Why, Ma, you're not going to cheat, are you?
For my wrists.
Your memoir should be something that people want to hear. You say, we weren't sure, if somebody wanted to hear it. Well, they do, don't they?
I guess so. But also, most people say to me afterwards, how come you didn't have this diet in it, like the pregnant woman's urine diet, which I would have put in, but my husband thought it was too gross, so we didn't do it. Or how come you didn't do the cabbage soup diet or any of these crazy diets that you hear of every day that I didn't put in. But we considered them. We considered them all. But I did mostly the ones that I knew most people knew about and ones that were dangerous to do, that people shouldn't do, because there's a lot of don't do this.
Can you give us one that you talk about in the show, the dangerous one?
Well, there was one that was Dr. Robert Lynn's. It was only 3 ounces of liquid protein a day.
That's it.
And I was on it with my friend Lainey Kazan, who's also an actress. And I said, Lainey, we better get off it. She said, why? I've lost almost 40 pounds. I said, I just read in the New York Times, people died from it.
Oh.
Because it was too little food to have, too little protein to have, and people died from it.
Doesn't it also tell you, though, about the pressures of being such a star that you do have to try to worry about that stuff? Or why would you ever care if that wasn't a concern, right?
Well, I don't think it's just being in show business. You know, the media is so... I heard the other day about what was the diet of Victoria's Secret models. Did you see that?
No, but I can't imagine what they eat.
Oh, but there was like powdered egg. Oh. And then for 48 hours before you modeled, you don't eat anything. And then 12 hours before, you don't have any water. And that was very, very dangerous. But those girls are all fatless. That used to be my husband's joke when we'd go in the gym. He'd say to a beautiful model, "I see fat." And they'd say, "Where? Where?"
Yeah, that's definitely a word they don't want to hear, right? Believe it or not, I started a diet last week.
No, what
yes,
was it?
Well, I'm right on it right now. I'm on Nutrisystem again.
Oh, that's a good diet.
So I've lost 12 pounds in 8 days. I've done it before.
Good.
But obviously it didn't work because you take one look at me the first time I did it. I did lose weight, but I gained a lot of it back.
Well, you keep doing it wrong till you do it right.
I guess so. Is it fun talking about your own life?
It really is. And sometimes when I'm doing it, I think, gee, that's me I'm talking about. Did I do that? Did I meet Grace Kelly? Did this happen to me? And then I say, yeah, it is.
Now, you know, it's 2017 you lost Joe.
Yeah.
Obviously, this has to be pretty tough for you since then, right?
It is, but, you know, because he wrote the show with me and he directed it originally, it, like, recalls him. And lots of times he comes to me in my dreams and talks to me, and he says things like, "Why don't you play the mother more like this or like that?" And then I do, so it's really good. I mean, we've told each other we were going to talk to each other after he passed on, and so we do.
What was it about you two that kept you together so long? This business, it doesn't happen too often.
Well, I think we had a lot of fun. That's very important in a relationship. You just can't take it too seriously, even when we'd have a fight. In the middle, we'd make jokes. I'd say, "Gee, I have an appointment. Could I meet you in an hour and we'll continue this fight? Remember the mean thing you were going to say so you can pick it up from there." So we would do jokes. And then afterwards, we'd say, "Hey, let's put that in a routine."
Laughter, one of the major reasons that you two connected, right?
The humor?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was told I was going to meet somebody that I would have a comedy rapport with. And I did right away. I did a routine for him that I was working on. And he laughed in places nobody laughed at. And I just knew immediately that he was my destiny. He was the one I was going to marry. And later, he said to himself, "This woman's looking at me very funny." So he got that I thought he was my destiny.
Yeah, I've heard you say that you feel that in a past life that you two were together, right?
Many times.
Yeah.
We were married. We were even two men together.
You know, it's interesting. Just this past weekend, Renee, I had the honor of being kind of like the greeter at my parents' 70th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And I said, you know, respect and love was to me the biggest thing, and faith and things like that that kept them together. You obviously both had to respect each other, not only as human beings, but in your careers, too.
Well, but even when we didn't, we were very honest, and we could communicate that way. I would say,
honesty, then,
yeah,
is another.
Yeah, can I tell you something that may hurt your feelings, but... I don't think you should do that part, or why are you doing that? We really communicated. It was very important for us to share where we were at, and also he had enormous integrity, and he was very inspiring to me. My next show is going to be about him, called Joe, about how inspiring a person he was.
And we look forward to that, what a tribute that will be. And,
thank you.
And keep you even closer as you go along, as you mentioned. We're speaking with the amazing, legendary actress, comedian Renee Taylor, who is Starring now in My Life on a Diet, that's at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick, running through December 15th.
I wouldn't say legendary.
No?
Okay, say legendary.
Let's say it.
No,
why
say
not?
It.
Why not? Why not? I think so. I think it's appropriate. You know,
I'm kidding.
I know. And I heard you say that you were always funny. Are people born funny?
I tell you, my family was so serious that I had to be funny because of it was too painful to be with them if they because they didn't yell. They would just do They're very judgmental, so that's why I loved Joe's family when I met them, because they yelled and screamed and threw things, and I felt that was music to me.
Hey, congratulations. 2018 was a special year for you because you entered the Bronx Jewish Hall of Fame, and you also won the annual United Solo Special Award for your significant contributions to solo theater.
Wasn't that wonderful? And one of my competitors was Bruce Springsteen. I was sure he was going to win, and I went there only to meet him. I brought him flowers because I was such a fan of his.
You've been a fan for a long time for
yeah,
the boss, huh?
And then I was surprised that I won.
You were born in the Bronx.
Born in the Bronx. I love the Bronx. I go back there all the time.
What do you remember most about your days in the Bronx?
Well, to us it was a rare treat. We would go to the Bronx Zoo all the time. We'd say, "Want to go to the zoo? Want to go to the Rose Garden?" It was like home to us. And the animals got to be like our family. We'd say, "Yoo-hoo, we're here again. Remember me?"
Favorite animal?
My favorite animal?
At the zoo?
Oh, I love the chimpanzees.
Why the chimpanzees?
Because they remind me of people I know.
There you go. And we won't have you identify who those people might be. You know, I wanted to ask you, if you had, you talked about you're going to have another show named Joe, but if you just had one more skit to do, a comedy routine, a duo, and obviously Joe's not the person you could pick, who would you like to do a comedy routine with? One more chance.
Well, I did a movie with Adam Sandler. That was fun.
That's a pretty good one to pick.
I just saw a movie the other day with Al Pacino, The Irishman. That was wonderful.
You like The Irishman?
Oh, yeah. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. I know it's coming to Netflix, so I'll see it right away.
Oh, yeah. It's really crazy.
I mean, I love all those actors. Joe Pesci has been in here because, as you know, you probably know that Joe sings jazz, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. He's great in this. He's great. I think he'll be nominated for an Academy Award, too.
Only three people in the world have one of these, and only one of them is Irish. You know how strong I made you?
He honored me by coming in and saying, "Can I have your voice?" And I said, "Well, if I could have your career, then we'll make that switch." Doing this one-person show and doing it for so long, you have nobody else to rely on. You've got used to that through the years, though, through being a comedian and everything like that, right?
Well, you know, you hear the audience voice. It's like a boomerang. You send something out and they send it back to you. And it's like playing with the audience. So there is another person that you play with. And also I do different people's voices who've been in my life. It's not just me. I do teachers that I've had and movie stars that I've met and acting teachers. So I'm not really alone up there.
Anybody give you a hard time for what you said about them?
Said about them? No, but I went to a dramatic school where they asked me not to come back because of my weight.
What?
Yeah. They said that my weight jeopardized the play I was in, because now people can be all shapes and sizes. But at that time, you had to be thin and really be very conventional looking to play leading ladies.
Well, I bet you can look back at that person and say, you know, That wasn't really the case for you, was it?
You know, but it was good because when you have rejections, when you get hurt a lot, people tell me stories, and I say, just because of that, you quit? I always say, I've been thrown out of better places than this. So it's really interesting how somebody is propelled by what happens to go on, or when somebody is down for the count. That's very interesting to me. What makes a person hang in there and go on and triumph, and what makes a person give up, you know, just because somebody said, like, I was on a television show with this critic, and I said to him, you gave me a wonderful review on Broadway. And he started to disagree, and I said, well, that's how I'm going to remember it. So I changed history with him.
What do you think? Was there a specific person, or was it you learning from various experiences that gave you the toughness to do what you're talking about, to take, be able to take criticism, be able to take maybe a setback here and move on?
I don't think I could take it. I was down for the count. There was a lot of times I stayed home in bed. There was a lot of times I was going to give it up. There was a lot of times I thought, oh, I'll never come back after this. This is the end of me. And I was surprised that I would just cry and scream and give it up and then say, well, what am I going to do now? I could become a nun. I could go in the flower business. I think I'll go back to the theater.
So somebody listening to Renee Taylor right now, and they're in their teens, and they love theater, and they're in their high school musicals, or they love performing in front of people in any way, would you tell them to try show business?
Sure. Oh, there was a woman in the audience, and she said to me, I'm 70. Do you think it's too late for me to be an actress? I said, not at all. I said, look at it this way. Two-thirds of your life is over, so the last third, do what you want to do.
I love that advice. We're speaking to Renee Taylor. She is the star of My Life on a Diet, running through December 15th at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. Not many people can say that Barbra Streisand opened for them. You can say that Barbra Streisand opened for your show. Take us back to that those nights. What was going on?
Well, she was phenomenal even then, and I think she was 17. She was phenomenal. But I tell a story about her in the show. She'd always ask me, you think I should sing this song? You think I should sing that song? And I'd tell her, and years later, she called me from the White House and said, what song do you think I should sing first? And I said, Barbra, I told you 10 years ago you didn't listen. Look where it got you.
Don't take my advice and you'll be just fine.
Because it's so personal. It really doesn't matter if you open with I'm going to live till I die or Lucky in Love. It really doesn't matter. People enjoy you or they don't.
Is there somebody that you've met in show business that just really rubbed you the wrong way that you don't mind telling people about?
No. But people who rubbed me the right way, like Marlon Brando, I loved meeting him.
And where did you meet him?
At school. I talk about it in the play. I said to him, are you going to leave me alone? And he said, I'm not doing anything. I said, well, why not? But I met a lot of great people, Cary Grant. They were all inspiring. And it was all very wonderful to meet them because I thought that they were magical and maybe I'd feel some of the stardust. And you know, you create your own stardust. Nobody can really give it to you.
Let's just say that you never met Joe, which is very difficult for you to say.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that you've ever met along the way and said, well, that person I probably could have hung out with at least?
Oh, you mean had romantic?
Yeah, romantic.
Oh, Cary Grant, definitely.
Cary Grant. It's a good choice.
But he had already been married 5 times. So. Well, I'd say you want to try for 6?
What, you know, you talk about how you like to draw from the audience or at least, you know, have them bounce back from you. What has been the nicest compliment that you have received from an audience member about my life on a diet.
Oh, the other night someone said to me, I was so depressed. I was so angry. I didn't even want to come. But, you know, now I'm in such a good mood. Thank you. So that's really the highest compliment that somebody could give you.
What a beautiful compliment, huh?
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that. Now, as you've gone through the various wonderful shows that you've been in, as I mentioned, people loved you as Mrs. Fine, Sylvia Fine. You were Emmy nominated for that role in The Nanny. What was it about that show that was so spectacular that our own receptionist, Katia, dressed up as Fran for Halloween, and she wants to meet you after this interview?
Oh, great. You know, somebody last night said they dressed up, a guy dressed up as Fran, and another guy dressed up as me.
That's fabulous. Did you guys have a wonderful relationship off?
We still do, yeah. We talk a lot. And actually, they're making a documentary about her in Florida, and I'm going to be in Florida. And they asked me if I'd come on and talk about her, and I'm going to. Her mother lives in Florida, too.
Even Dr. Miller said we had irreconcilable differences.
I'll kill that quack. You go back and beg for forgiveness. Beg a little, for God's sakes. You're a single maid.
What are you talking about?
Apologize to Mr. Sheffield.
Mom, I'm talking about Val.
I am missing jalapeno nachos for that moron.
Why do you think that show was so successful?
I don't know. It was outrageous. You know, it was a fish out of water, but there are a lot of fish out of water show. Just a brash girl with a very sophisticated, beautiful English man, and her bringing her pushy mother into their life. And it was very, very funny.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about jazz, because I know that you
told
me. I
love jazz.
What kind of jazz do you like? Is there any particular artist?
Well, you know who was my favorite? Mel Torme.
Mel Torme.
I used to love anything that he sang. And on my phone, as a matter of fact, you know, you have a song that you play. I have two songs. One of them is Lucky in Love from the movie Good News, and that's Mel Torme singing that.
You're lucky if you're lucky in love. You're lucky, so lucky. It's all so lovely if you are lucky in love.
Wonderful. Do you remember, I asked you before we started this interview, Gary Walker, a morning man, wanted me to ask you about the Blue Angel. What do you remember about the Blue Angel?
No, that was a great jazz club. You know, in New York, they used to have a lot of jazz clubs.
Lorraine Gordon and her husband owned that club, as well as part of the Village Vanguard.
Yes.
And he figured that you would probably know that club well.
Yeah, I used to go there. And you know what? I was the Metropole. Do you remember that? In New York City, that was a big jazz club. Birdland. I was the hat check girl there, just so I could hear the music.
You were the hat check girl at Birdland?
Birdland and the Metropole. I was also the photographer. I didn't know anything about it, but it said photographer wanted. So I walked in there, and I said I knew how to do it, and I didn't. I said, just tell me what button you push.
Wow. So you mentioned Mel Torme being one of your friends. What do you like about jazz?
Well, I like the riffs. You know, I like when bands just go off.
Did you ever get to meet Mel Torme?
Yes, yes. I loved him. Miles Davis, great.
And you met him as well?
Yes.
What did he tell you? Because he's obviously quite a character through all the years.
Quite a character. I knew his ex-wife. He was just a great musician, and he could express himself in his the love, the constant love was in the music.
We've talked a lot about performing, and especially the kind of solo show that you do. It is jazz, isn't it?
It is. It is jazz, because you don't do the same thing twice. It's never the same show. And sometimes the same laughs don't come. I mean, I get laughs in places I didn't get them before. And it's always interesting to go out there and see what's going to happen. I guess jazz musicians must feel that, how exciting it is to play notes you've never played before and go places, take journeys you've never gone before.
What was the moment in your show business career that you said, yeah, I made it. This is it for me. This is exactly where I want to be. That's a difficult question.
Well, I've had it a couple of times.
Give us one of them.
I remember I was in my 30s, and I was walking in the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I saw this beautiful woman in a silver sequined gown, and I said, oh, what a pretty woman. Someday I'm going to look like that. And I bumped into the mirror. I said, oh, my God, that's me.
Wow. That's beautiful, Renee. I love that story. Now, another time,
we were on the cover of New York Magazine. That was like a thrill. It was for our movie Made for Each Other, and they said it was the best love story and the best comedy of 1971. And I thought, oh, it'll never get better than this. The night we were nominated for an Academy Award, I said to Joe, oh, it'll never get better than this. But I've had a lot of times in my life that I said, oh, it's never going to get better than this.
Made for Each Other, that also included the, you know, ideas about your mother, right?
Yeah, my mother and Joe's father and are both families.
And your mother was not the easiest person to get close to, I would imagine, right?
She was a kaleidoscope. And I wouldn't have probably had the career that I had without her, having done my horoscope when I was a little girl and telling me that was my destiny. And sometimes I'd get mad at her and I'd say, well, if it's my destiny, I'm staying in bed and let destiny come to me. If it's preordained, I don't have to do anything.
Has there been any difference between Off-Broadway and New Jersey audiences with this show?
No.
People just love your stories, right?
People are just very emotionally responsive, and it's very healing. Comedy is a very healing emotion for people.
And we're in difficult times for a lot of people, and everybody has their own personal, you know, problems. But you talked about how that one person said to you, you know, is really down, didn't want to come to the show tonight. What a powerful tool, what a powerful skill you have, Renee.
Yeah. I guess because sometimes there's nowhere to go but make a joke. You know, when my husband was dying, a doctor came to him from another hospital who got off work. And he said, Joe, I just wanted to make sure you're comfortable. And my husband said, well, I make a good living. I don't know if I'm comfortable.
You got to love that. People are loving My Life on a Diet, running through December 15th. What do you got planned for the holiday season?
I'm going back to New York. I'm going to a couple of people's houses for one for lunch at 2:30. I know I won't do it, but I say I'm going to eat the beginnings of a meal at 1, and at 7, the end of a meal. And if you want, I'll call you and tell you if I have the willpower to do it, because they're going to be both great gourmet meals.
What would you like to tell those dangerous diet creators that that simply didn't work?
Well, one diet was amphetamines. I was on that. Hmm. I used to have Dexamils, you know, to take away my appetite.
That's serious stuff.
It is. And another diet was a champagne diet. Vogue magazine said to have two glasses of champagne before each meal. But you can't be cheap champagne because they have more calories. So I got to be, oh, and they said it should be Cristal, which is the most expensive champagne you could get. So I got to be at $200 a day drunk. And that's when I started going to AA. And I would walk around in a brown paper bag with Cristal champagne in it. And people would say, oh, you can't go in there with that a bottle in a bag. I'd say, please, it's my diet. Don't take it away from me.
I've told some of my students that being a comedian is the toughest job that I know of. Do you feel that way?
Toughest. Well, I mean, like they say, you feel like you died on stage when people stare at you. I've had that experience where people stared at me. They didn't get my humor.
So what did you do? How did that impact you?
I just said, I never blame the audience like some people do when they say, oh, it's a bad crowd. I always say, no, I guess I didn't communicate with them on some level that they couldn't find what I was telling them funny. So let me look at what I was talking about. I never blame the audience when you don't get laughs, because sometimes people are scared, they're tired, they're sleepy. So I don't blame them. It's up to you. You have the responsibility to reach them, to reach into their heart and pull them up to their funny bone.
Is there a certain comedian in today's, you know, big scene that you enjoy?
Today. Well, I love all the people on Saturday Night Live. I think they're all great, all the young people starting out. And, you know, my peer was Richard Pryor. He was hilarious.
What a talent, huh?
Yeah, he was really great. I had a lot of young people coming up with who were very funny.
People would like to check out your Rolodex through the years, right?
My Rolodex, yeah.
Because you have met some of the most unbelievable people.
Yes, Don Rickles. It's a very funny story about him.
Can you tell us?
Yeah, he said to Frank Sinatra, he said, please, there's a girl at my table, so please come to my table and make a fuss over me. Hello, how are you? So I can impress the girl. So Frank Sinatra came to the table and said, hello, Don. And he said, leave me alone, Frank. I'm busy. What a girl.
I love it. Anything else you'd like to tell us about my life on a diet?
Well, I like to meet the people afterwards. I go in the lobby afterwards and take pictures and talk to them about what their diets are and what their frame of reference is. Because some people know me from The Nanny. Some people know me from The Jack Paar Show. Some people know me from movies I was in. Different people. A lot of people come and they say, hey, I didn't know you were an actress. I didn't know you were a writer. I just thought you were somebody on The Nanny.
You've proven them wrong, haven't you?
Well, I am all of those things. I've had different careers at different places in my life, and I'm about to have new ones.
You're going strong, aren't you?
Well, I'm in my 80s, but I can play older.
There you go. Renee Taylor, you're just as beautiful inside as you are outside.
Thank you.
I already knew that going into this.
I hope you're going to come to the show and come backstage.
Absolutely.
And tell me how your diet's going.
Let's see. When I see you, it'll be probably in about a week. Uh-huh. So I better be down at least 15 to 20 by then.
Oh, no. My joke is that I do. I said I just finished a 10-day diet, 1,500 calories a day in 2 days.
You're amazing. Mm-hmm. You are. Renee Taylor, starring on My Life on a Diet, running through December 15th at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. What an honor it's been to have you on the WBGO
and
Journal.
And meeting you and talking about a little about jazz.